Hello and welcome to episode 2 of the Coach's Office Sports Podcast. We appreciate everybody that's been listening and waiting for our new episodes. We plan on dropping them every Wednesday. Hopefully about 8 o'clock we should drop them on all your Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and our YouTube channel. You can follow us on Twitter at 3 Coaches Podcast and on Facebook at the Coach's Office Sports Podcast page also, and on YouTube at the Coach's Office Sports Podcast also. So we got a lot to talk about today, again, we're excited to be doing this. We're excited to be back talking sports. Again, I'm Martin Alvarez.
Jason Nolan. Ricky Guerra.
And special guest today and also contributor to the show is our executive producer.
I am Bryce Smith. Happy to be here, man. Extenuating circumstances last week. Unfortunately, couldn't be a part of it. But, you know, as the producer, it's part of my job to be here, man. So I'm going to sit back. I'm going to let you guys do your thing. And, you know, I may chime in a little bit here and there. But, you know, happy to be here, fellas. Let's get into it.
A shout out to Marisa also.
Letting
us use your kitchen today. All right. So off the bat. Oh, again, here we go. Episode 2, Coach's Sports Podcast. All right, so right off the bat, little change up from last week. I know we went heavy football, but Coach Guerra this week reminded me today that Manny Pacquiao is retiring. The great Manny Pacquiao, I think there is probably no debate as to his place in boxing. Eight-division champ, the only eight-division champ, from 105 to 154, has the record for the most buys on any pay-per-view, on his pay-per-view versus Merriweather. And where does he fit, guys, in the pantheon of the greats? Ali, Julio Cesar Chavez, you know, where does he fit in there?
To me, Manny was one of the greatest, you know, outside of Roy Jones Jr., I think pound to pound, one of the greatest boxers that ever lived. Love watching him box. The only wish I had is I wish him and Mayweather would have fought when they're both in their primes. I think that would have been a great, great fight. When they finally fought, I thought Pacquiao, he was a little over, not over the hill, but he had focuses other ways. You know, he's really big in government in the Philippines. That may take away some of his focus. Maybe not, you know, hard on the train as he would if it was years earlier. But love watching him fight.
62-7-2 all time. And he is running for president in the Philippines, which is pretty amazing. And he has been a senator for a long time. And I didn't realize this. Out of his seven losses, of course, the one that stands out in my mind is the one to Marquez in the sixth round where he said he just made a mistake and got caught. And I didn't realize that that was before he fought Mayweather. To me, his career started to decline after Marquez, and I didn't realize that till looking it up today.
Was that his fourth time to fight him, I believe?
This third time.
Because he beat him the first two.
Yeah.
Is that the one where he got knocked out right as the bell was going off?
In the sixth round. He missed the punch, and yeah, Marquez caught him on a counter, and he went down pretty badly. But yeah, and Marquez didn't want to fight him after that either. So shout out to Manny Pacquiao, wishing him luck. As he moves on from his boxing career, definitely one of the greatest in my book. And now to maybe not one of the greatest is Joshua, right? Joshua fought this weekend. Wasn't a big time promoted fight. I probably wouldn't have known about it unless I got the notifications from DAZN. But he fought Usyk, a former gold medalist, who's undefeated. 12 rounds. And he got upset. He was a big underdog, but he just straight out boxed him. I mean, the same way as his other loss, he just got outboxed. He's a heavy puncher. He throws punches. He knocks people out. But if they get in there and mix it up, he doesn't have a shot. And I think now he may be out of the talking for the heavyweight championship. Fury and Wilder are fixing the fight coming up. And Usyk wants to unify it. Whoever wins that one, he wants to unify it. And, I mean, to be real honest, the reason I'm talking about this is I want the heavyweight division to be good again. I mean, it used to be the big thing was to watch Mike Tyson, Evander Holyfield, you know, Lennox Lewis. I mean, you know, the list goes on and on of great heavyweights. And we just haven't had anybody like that in a long time.
Nah, and this is just maybe my opinion. I kind of want to see how you guys feel about it. But do you think that the emergence maybe of MMA had anything to do with the heavyweight boxing scene kind of going downhill?
I do. I think, to me, I mean, I used to love boxing. I love those big fights, you know, Holyfield and Tyson, you know, those kind of got fights. But now, to me, it's MMA. And it's, to me, it's more action. It seems more legitimate. You know, boxing's always got that shadow behind their, you know, behind their back about how it's run. And, you know, to me, it's always MMA. You know, I got some buddies who are big MMA guys. They keep me updated what's going on. I enjoy watching more than, you know, than a random boxing match.
To me, nothing's going to take place of the sweet science. And, you know, UFC arena is 20,000 people, right, in Vegas?
Most.
Yeah, at most. Canelo Alvarez is selling out Jerry World, you know, 115,000 people in attendance. And boxing is not going anywhere. I don't think it's being overtaken. It just hasn't been that guy that has gotten the spotlight that has overtaken, well, you know.
I think we had someone for a while, and I think it was Floyd. And it was mainly just his specialty. I mean, his freaking ability to just dodge punches. He made it an art. He would win fights not throwing very many punches. Just by, I'm going to make you miss. I'm going to hit you when it matters. And I'm not going to beat you down. I might not knock you out. But it's going to be an art form.
Yeah.
So when you relate it back to MMA, MMA is like, oh, we're going to the ground. I'm going to choke you. I'm going to break your arm. I'm going to do all that. And they're not going to stop it. And right. So I think that boxing's not going away. I just think it because of, you know, those lightweight classes making that an art form, I think, the like you said, there's no heavyweight boxer that is Mike Tyson going in there and knocking you out two rounds, a round and a half. That's more towards the MMA side, and that's why people started to, I think, chime in more on MMA than they do boxing now.
Yeah, and definitely the brutality, the gladiator aspect of it is a big pull for MMA, and I get that. But the sweet science, I mean, it's an art form. And yes, when you're watching two lightweights go at it that are going to go for 12 rounds and are just, you know, knocking the crap out of each other, it's a beautiful thing to watch if you're a fight fan, but not if you want to see somebody get knocked out. And yeah. So that definitely might be part of that.
All right, I'm done with this. Let's move on to something real, like college football.
Well, before we do, I did want to mention maybe the person that is right now, pound for pound, the best boxer, and that is selling out arenas, that is making hundreds of millions of dollars, is Canelo Alvarez, right? He's polarizing. People love him. People hate him. He is a -1,000, 1-10 favorite over Plant on November 6th. And if y'all got a chance to see the press conference the other day, he really pissed him off. And if you want to see brutality in a knockout, I think it's fixing to come in this fight.
You're going
to
talk about my mother in that way, too. I'd be pissed off, too.
And apparently Canelo did not know what a MF-er was, okay? Because when they interviewed him afterwards, he said, he can tell me whatever he wants, he can disrespect me, but he can't talk about my mother, and that's why he almost knocked him out. Cut his eye, under his eye, but it doesn't look like it's going to affect the fight, but it should be a good one. I'll be watching, party at my house, be smoking something and drinking something.
You said it.
And it'll be fun, so... So yes, now to what we love and what we're here to talk about mostly is football. So let's get on the recap of the weekend. Starting with Arkansas, right? We talked about if A&M could get past Arkansas, they had a chance to maybe
Make some noise.
Make some noise, especially with their game against Alabama coming up, and they laid a big goose egg.
Yeah, it's epic fail by A&M's part. Didn't even show up. It was 17-0 before a blink of the eye. And if you watch the game, they weren't even in it. I mean, you can, you know, a lot of times, especially when you're gambling, you could rationalize it. Well, this one, this way. No, that's a straight up ass whooping that they took. And A&M fans, and you know who you are, it should be embarrassed.
You know,
you should be embarrassed of what happened on Saturday. And my, you know, my only worry for A&M people is it's going to be a downward spiral from here.
Can you rebound?
Can you rebound from it? Because you're playing a lot of freshmen. You're playing a backup quarterback. I don't know if they can. I mean, and when I say I don't know if they can, I'm looking at maybe like a, you know, 93-84 type of regular season for them. But compared to what you where you were at or where you thought you're going, 8-4 is going to be a huge disappointment.
And Arkansas now ranked number 8. This week, taking on,
Georgia.
Georgia, big game, big spread too.
18.5 points, and I mean, I'll get into this a little bit later, but this is not a good spot for Arkansas. They can't throw the ball. They can't throw the ball as well as, you know, other teams against Georgia. And Georgia's flat out nasty, defensively nasty. I think they're going to shut down the running game. You know, Georgia's going to win, and I honestly think they could pick the number. They could pick the number what they win by this weekend.
All right. Also, UTSA pulling off the upset against Memphis. You know, we talked about that if they could get by Memphis, it might be their path to breaking the top 25. They did get, I think, 11 votes for the top 25. We love our local teams. We love local college teams. UTSA is playing pretty good football. They came down from 21-0 in that game.
Right, and mea culpa on my part, man. I you know, you telling me that UTSA is going to win the game, and I was like, yeah, no, not going to happen. But, you know, they, you know, especially when I saw the score, 21-0, I didn't even bother trying to watch the second half thinking that, it, you know, I thought it was over. And they fought back pretty hard. Obviously, who won the game. There's a lot to be excited about.
On a last, I think, 46-yard field goal to win it with the time running out. Doing big-time things over there in UTSA.
Yeah, they're gonna win Conference USA, which is a huge, you know, huge step for the program, winning a championship. Look at their schedule. You know, the toughest game left on their schedule is probably at La Tech, and La Tech's gonna be if they win that one, I could see them going 11-1, 12-0. I really can. Now, what's that gonna get them? You know, maybe a trip to the Bahamas for some lower tier.
Hey, my wife's an alumni at UTSA. I'm going to convince her to take us to the Bahamas. That would be awesome.
Go. So, but I think you asked me last week. I thought that UTSA was not going to crack the top 25 this year. I think they will now.
Speaking of cracking the top 25, why the hell is not Texas ranked in the top 25? You lose to number 8 now, Arkansas, right? And they don't break the top 25. A&M dropped to 15.
It's not okay. Them not being put in top 25 is okay on my end as a Texas fan. But when you leave Clemson there, right, and when I get the NC State bumping up to the top 25, they're unranked. They beat a number 9 Clemson. Yes, I mean, it was at their home, two overtime game. Great, you know, great for them as a program. Go ahead, rank them. They're number 23. But when you leave Clemson at 25, Clemson has two wins under their belt this year. Georgia Southern and Georgia Tech. That, I mean, those are their two wins. Their two losses are Georgia, who they played actually very well. It was a 10-3 ball game. And NC State, where they lose 27-21 in double overtime.
Well, there you go. That's your rationale for Clemson still being in the top 25. Those are two not bad losses there.
But here's
they're averaging 25 points a game. Texas right now is averaging 51.5.
And here's another thing too.
51.5.
You got to start. You know, polls are silly because the coaches' poll filled out by some GA who's on 2 hours of sleep and he just looks through the scores. You know, AP poll is made by a bunch of morons that don't watch West Coast games. And if you do the eyeball test, you look at Clemson, they are not a top 25 team right now. They are now officially eliminated from the playoffs.
Yes.
The ACC will not get a playoff team this year. Thank God.
The only team in the top 25 with two losses.
Right. But you look at Texas.
And I think they're just ranked because of who they have been.
Right.
That should not be why they're
ranked. Many people look at the name Clemson and are like, well,
it's Clemson.
It's Clemson.
They still need to be up there to get ratings.
And they look at it's Texas. Stupid. They look at Texas and they say, well, Tom Herman's still the coach. No, he's not.
They're in a new era there. And they're averaging 51.5 points. These are not even his recruits.
Well, now, granted, last week we talked about how the Big 12 does not get any love.
No, at all.
Now, if you win the Big 12, you're going to go to the playoffs. But if not, you're not going to get much love. But out of the top 25, you have Oklahoma. You have Oklahoma State and Baylor are all ranked above Texas.
And I'm saying this now, and there's any Baylor fans out there, you guys are garbage. Do not enjoy being the top 25 for too much longer. You are garbage.
4-0, not ranked last week, moving up to 21 in the polls. You know, Texas has a big game this week against Texas Tech. It's always a kind of a rivalry game.
TCU.
My fault.
TCU.
Yes.
Well, you
did. Sorry.
Come on. They just demolished Texas.
They
Tech.
They did just demolish. That's what I was thinking. But yes, they have TCU this week. TCU is not very good. They should blow them out, and hopefully this puts them in the top 25 after this week. So, the next thing we got is, who are the last two playoff spots? If Alabama and Georgia are locks right now.
Which they are.
Which, yes.
They should be, yes.
Then who is number three and number four going to the playoff this fall?
If Penn State and Oregon take care of business, they're in. However, by their previous seasons, they always mess
Oregon's
up somewhere.
Oregon's good for a goose egg. They'll probably go down, play USC, and USC will kick the crap. If they play this year, I'm not sure the divisions.
Well, they play Stanford this week.
And I'll tell you what.
Stanford always gives them trouble.
Stanford, but Oregon
Penn
State.
Penn State playing Michigan?
Yes.
Oregon State's not bad, and I don't know where that game's at this year. I'll have to look it up, but if they're playing Corvallis, I mean, no one goes to Corvallis on purpose. And Oregon's going to go there on purpose. They could lose that game, you know, at the end. So they could have one loss.
They're bound to mess up somewhere along the way. Just Oregon.
You look at Oklahoma. Do you believe in Oklahoma? Absolutely not.
No.
They look ugly.
So let me stop you right there, Coach Owen. So as you guys know, I am a diehard Oklahoma guy. Right? Okay, so I always have been. I always will be. I don't see that changing. I have seen everything that Oklahoma has had from when I started watching them, Josh Heupel, Jason White, all the way through, you know, Baker, Kyler, and Jalen Hurts. Spencer Rattler, as much as I want to love the guy, I do not. Now, do I believe that the fans in Norman the other night should have been chanting, "We want Caleb"?
I don't think I've ever seen that.
I do not think that that should have been the case. But do I think that Spencer Rattler is the guy to get us into the playoffs? No, I don't. As much as I want to believe that we're going to win out and win the Big 12, I don't know if that is going to be the case this year.
I don't think so either. Well, go ahead, Coach.
Well, I was just going to say, I said the way I feel about Spencer Rattler, I probably should not watch QB1 because not only do I dislike him, but I dislike Oklahoma for taking him. You know, like I started chanting at home when they started chanting for Caleb. And, you know, he's just not a likable guy. He's not pushing the ball down the field. He's got pretty decent numbers, but I just don't know what he's like in the locker room.
And what have we been doing lately? You think back of Baker, Kyler, and Jalen Hurts. We're running the football, and we're pushing it down the field to our guys that are going to get open. We still have those guys. We do not have the quarterback to make those throws anymore, in my opinion.
I agree with you. I think Oklahoma's going to be eliminated from the equation. next week against Texas.
Let's go!
And I'm looking at top five, Iowa, 4-0. Anybody watches the Big Ten West, it's awful football, so they're going to lose a game at some point. They'll probably lose to some horrible team like Purdue. And Penn State, same thing. They're going to play Ohio State. So are you going to take a one-win team, a one-loss team? Who knows? This is going to kill me to say this.
It's not Iowa, is it?
No.
No. Oh,
okay. The stupid Fighting Irish from Notre Dame. And here's why. Are they a good team? No, they're not. They should have two losses right now. But they somehow pulled out against Florida State, which is an awful team. Toledo, Mac, not good. They beat a bad Purdue team. They beat what I think is a mediocre Wisconsin team. Big game this weekend against Cincinnati.
Cincinnati is favored by 1.5.
You're right. And
they're going playing at Notre Dame? Or is it in Cincinnati?
It's at Notre Dame.
That's big.
When you look at the rest of the schedule, at Virginia Tech, should win. Home versus USC, should win. Home versus North Carolina, should win. Navy, they'll win that one. Virginia, they'll win that one. They'll beat Georgia Tech. The tricky one is going to be at Stanford. Because, again, Stanford does Stanford things at home, especially late in the season.
So, could it be the return of Notre Dame to the playoffs?
God, I hope not. Because I would have to hear from all my ND friends. And they're like, oh, we're back! And you're not back. But, you know. So, I think they're going to take a slot, too. And, you know, the team, I don't know. The wild card, again, I got yelled about this last week, was BYU. I love BYU. BYU's knocked off some Pac-12 teams. They beat Utah.
Utah State this week?
And they got a big game against Utah State.
I'm going to tell you, do not count out the Utah State Aggies, my friend.
From the playoff?
No, from beating BYU this week. Utah State lost last week. They got put down by Boise State, which I've hated Boise State since that 2005 Fiesta Bowl.
Right, right.
But they're going to bounce back. Coach Anderson's a great football coach. He has a good staff over there. Don't be surprised if Utah State surprises BYU and beats them on Saturday.
So this. All right, so besides Utah State and BYU, it's a great slate of games this week. Arkansas, of course, going for the upset. And then Iowa versus Maryland. Is Iowa for real? I know we ruled them out from making the playoffs, but this could be a great test. Going up against Tua's brother in Maryland, Iowa's favored by 3 with a 47.5 over-under.
Yeah, I'm personally going to be taking Maryland.
Where is that game at?
It's at Maryland on a Friday night.
Friday night game.
Maryland
does tricky things on Friday nights. You're ruining your routine. Your routine's off. You're going to a hostile environment. Maryland fans are pretty good. Iowa, again, wasn't very impressive last week against Colorado State. So, when I talk about earlier loss, it's gonna. I think it's gonna come this weekend, and that's gonna knock Iowa out of playoff discussion. Losing to Maryland. That's my opinion on that.
Since we talked a little bit about Cincinnati, Notre Dame 1.5. Cincinnati's defense is pretty good. They might have, in my opinion, the best defensive line in college football. Can they slow down Notre Dame enough to pull off? They're favored by 1.5. So it's not even an upset, but pull off the win and then knock Notre Dame's hopes of making the top four.
My opinion on that is this is going to be Cincinnati's second road game going into South Bend, and that's going to be an actual hostile environment. They won 2 at Indiana. Indiana is not a football program. It's a basketball school. So, you know, going into Indiana, and they should have lost that game. Indiana had 3 red zone turnovers. They were down 14-0 early. They came back because Indiana's inability to shut the door on them. Now, with that said, you're right. Cincinnati's defense is really good. And Notre Dame doesn't run the ball very well. So they're going to depend on the pass game. But if Notre Dame's able to generate some turnovers, I like them this weekend to knock off Cincinnati. And it's a great battle. It's 7 versus 9.
So. This might be Cincinnati's, I think, biggest game in program history.
Well, it is, because if they win this game, they conceivably run the table.
Yeah.
If they can run the table and they put themselves in position to get that group
to make the playoff.
To make the playoff, which would be a huge accomplishment for a group of five team. Now, part of me wants to see Cincinnati win just to see what the committee is going to do when you put in that position. Because you run the table and you beat two Power 5 teams on the road, that says something. You know, so what's the committee going to do? And it's going to be interesting about a month from now when they start doing these rankings. Going back to our 3 and 4 slot, who are going to take the 3 and 4 slots?
Up for grabs.
It is, absolutely.
Also, this slate of games this week, interesting game, Ole Miss versus Alabama. Does Ole Miss have a chance at the upset, or at the very least, to be able to cover 14.5?
This is going to be the most fun game to watch of the entire week. Lane Kiffin's going to throw up. I mean, last year they threw up 48 points on Alabama's defense. That defense has now since graduated. They got a new defense.
The over/under is 80 points. Also,
80 points.
So
I wouldn't touch the toe on this because. I mean, you're looking, it could be a 48-40 type game, you know, or it could be a 35-36 game, you know.
Last year was very high scoring game.
It very is.
Ole Miss had, what, like 500 yards of
500
total
yards. It ripped David, I mean, because Kiffin knows that program inside out as he went through his rehab assignment.
He steals so, signals, right?
That's what an insider said.
So.
Was there was a guy over there who knew these signals.
Yeah. So I personally think, I mean, if I was a betting man, which I am, I'm taking Ole Miss at 14.5. Don't think they're going to pull off the win, but it's going to be, if you're going to watch any game this weekend, watch this one because it's going to be a ton of offense. It's going to be a lot of fun to watch, and I can't wait to see Saban lose his mind on the sidelines because Kiffin again is toying with him.
Oklahoma at Kansas State or versus Kansas State. Oklahoma has gotten by the skin of their teeth.
Oh, man.
West Virginia had them on the ropes last week.
Kansas State's beat them twice the past 2 years. 2019 and 2020, Kansas State beat OU.
They make it 3 in a row.
Very good possibility.
Here's what I'm going to say about that, because, of course, I'm going to chime in because we're talking about my guys here, right? This is our defensive coordinator. This is his second year. From Ohio State. He's finally got the defense playing the way that they should be playing. Now, they, like you said, getting by the skin of their teeth, but the defense has played pretty well. Now, like I was saying before, is the offense going to be able to get the job done? I'm not sure. You said what? They're favored by 10.5 at Kansas State. That's hard, man. They're not going to be able to cover that spread. Will they win? Maybe. But if they win, if Oklahoma pulls this off, it's going to be the same way that it was last week. At the very end of the game, we're going to seal it with the field goal, and we're going to walk off and win by 3 in a probably low-scoring game.
I agree with the low-scoring game, but I'm not going to play this weekend because I don't know what to expect from Oklahoma. And Kansas State's quarterback, Skylar Thompson's likely out this week with knee injury. They brought in the backup last week, kind of tried to bring him back. I wasn't impressed with him. Now, a full week of practice may help him out in preparation, but I mean, you're looking at 10.5 points, you're 2 touchdowns. In college football, 2 touchdowns is like, it's easy. So, or easier than NFL. So, I don't know. I'm going to stay away totally from that game. I can see both sides of the fence on that. And at some point, you have to think that Oklahoma's going to start erupting on offense. And maybe it will when they bench.
I hope.
Can they put it together?
That's what we're supposed to do.
I hope Oklahoma pulls this one off in the most Oklahoma way they've been this year. Because I want that first loss to come to Texas next week. And I am going to be so stoked when Texas upsets OU. It's not even going to be an upset because Texas is going to come in favored. You can mark that. And I get to see Coach Smith in an OU shirt. I mean, a UT shirt throwing up the hook.
This is what we talked about earlier, too, Coach, is that if Oklahoma wins this game, Texas has a real shot of beating them in Dallas.
Yes.
At the state fair. I will tell you this,
I hate the 11 o'clock start. Not a fan of it.
I've never been a fan of the 11 o'clock start for that game. It's such a big rivalry.
Big game, yeah, but it's a prime time
game. But if Oklahoma loses this week,
make a trip to Jerry World.
Mark my words for next week. They will destroy Texas if they lose to Kansas State.
All right, so we'll get back into some college when we talk our sports investments later on. But now moving on to the NFL. Monday night game. Dallas Cowboys come out. It looked at the beginning like it was going to be the same old, and Dak comes through.
You talking about the future MVP of the league, Dak Prescott?
I mean, you know, I'm not going to anoint him right now, but
they made that point in the thing, and where they were saying, you know, Dak is probably already going to win Comeback Player of the Year. Does he win the MVP?
Could it be an MVP season for Dak Prescott?
I think he belongs up there with the other names of quarterbacks that are being thrown around right now. Your A-Bears, you know, Carr. Of course, Aaron Rodgers waking up finally after the first game. You know, Tom Brady, Allen. You know, he's statistically, by quarterback rating, he is the eighth best quarterback in the league after the first three games. But he doesn't do the things that cost you ball games, right?
He
doesn't turn the ball over. He makes the good throws. He makes the clutch throws more and more is what I've been seeing. Now, his knock has always been that he can't push the ball down the field. But when he needs to, he's making those plays. Now, the thing that helps him the most is that they're running the ball 30 times a game.
Absolutely. I think they've accepted the fact that Elliott's not the workhorse anymore. You do a two-back system they have. Pollard's been playing great. And if you and they use him differently. Right. And they both can be pass catchers on the backfield.
It's thunder and lightning, baby.
Yeah. And you do that, and instead of trying to depend on Zeke carrying the ball 20, 25 times a game, you split up their carries between 12 and 13 apiece. And I think the important part is Dak not throwing the ball more than 30 times. And I think that goes with almost any NFL quarterback. If you're throwing the ball 30-plus times a game, you're fixing to be in trouble.
Right.
So my concerns about Dallas is their defense. It's played better, and it's gotten better. I mean, it's better than last year where they were giving up.
It looked great. It looked great on Monday, but of course, this was against the lowly Eagles.
But they also played well against Los Angeles. I mean, against the Chargers.
Yeah.
You know, and they weren't awful against the Rams. I mean, they weren't.
But they had eight takeaways on the season so far.
Yeah,
leading the NFL.
Well, they're Dallas's offense is poised to be really, really good. I mean, Schultz looked great. Both of the tight ends. You got CeeDee Lamb, you know, Amari Cooper. Cedric Wilson is filling that role after the injury. And then you got Zeke and Tony Pollard. I mean, the offensive line has looked reborn.
They're missing some.
And they're missing
Lanell Collins.
Lanell Collins and his dumbass. Missing seven drug test and then trying to bribe the NFL.
Yeah, well, did you see the why he missed them? They were like, it was all after terrible days or something. It was like the day after his uncle passed away, and he was out of town, and like he had every excuse. So the Cowboys were trying to still fight for him to come back. But I mean, when you try to bribe the NFL,
and I think that was, he had good excuses for like three of the times he missed his drug test, but not seven. And then he tried to bribe the NFL drug tester. Like, come on, man. And then the NFL doesn't even care about weed anymore.
Right.
Like, so who knows what, you know, performance-enhancing drugs, you know, cocaine. I mean, I don't know what it is. But, you know, anyway. But even without him, they are being pretty efficient. They're scoring, and I think it's because of Dak Prescott. Now, Dak Prescott, at this point in his career, even though he missed last season, is a seasoned veteran
yes.
at this point. Yeah. He is a veteran quarterback. He's, I mean, you saw Jalen Hurts. This was his seventh start, and he looked like a quarterback who had seven starts.
Right.
Dak Prescott is not going to be the flashiest. He's not going to put up the biggest numbers. But there's just, I know I've heard a lot of people in different shows and podcasts that there's just something about Dak Prescott. If you watched the NFL documentary, The Hard Knocks, when Dak Prescott walked in a room on that show, everybody was like, it was like Dak. Like, you know, I mean, everywhere from the laundry guy to the guy that set up the water. I mean,
McCarthy.
To everybody.
Jerry Jones, everybody. Like,
I mean, he had something about him, and I think this might be a... I'm not going to say they're going to win the Super Bowl. I would take a playoff win at this point, but I think that he's got that
impact. They're going to win... They're going to win the NFC East.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I think after watching all the teams, they're going to win the East. They're going to get a home playoff game in the wild card round, assuming that I'm just assuming they have a chance to win a playoff game. Then you get to the divisional round. Who knows? I mean, unlike other sports, this is not a series. It's one game, and you've got things that go one way or another on you. I mean,
anything can happen. Anything can happen. Football.
Mm-hmm. Any given Sunday.
Now, I don't think they're top three in the NFC right now, but I think they could put themselves in position to be very successful in the playoffs if they continue to get better, if the defense continues to improve, which they should. I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility of winning a playoff game.
Okay, so this may change the subject just a touch, but there's two things that you mentioned, and it's gonna bring me to something else. You mentioned MVP race. And you mentioned rebirth. What about Matthew freaking Stafford, fellas? Have y'all been watching that guy play football lately? People like to talk about, you know, the trash years in Detroit, which Detroit was a absolute dumpster fire.
I feel bad for Campbell.
Granted, he had Megatron for 7 years there, but there's not a whole lot you can do with one piece of a team. Now that he's a part of a full team, what do you guys think about Stafford, if the Rams keep winning, being in that MVP race?
Oh, definitely in the MVP race. Right now, I would, you know, put I'm only half joking about Dak because I know I'll get a rise out of some Cowboys fans out there. But Stafford's definitely at the top of the list. You know, they go 14-3 this year, 13-4. He takes them to the NFC Championship game, even the Super Bowl. They're my pick to go to the Super Bowl. So I think Stafford, and it'd be a well-deserved reward because he put up a lot of crap in Detroit. And nothing's good come out of Detroit since
Eminem.
I mean, honestly, yeah. And so
him and Barry Sanders, right?
And Detroit buried Sanders. He quit in his prime because...
He was in Detroit.
So, I mean, you Detroit lovers out there, I get it.
Right now in quarterback rating, he's the number two quarterback in the league. And he's close to 1,000 yards passing already. One interception, 9 touchdowns. Definitely in the conversation. The Rams look pretty good. I mean, the Rams look good. I know we talked about them last week. In who we thought would be our final four, and it's proven that way, you know. But another team that seems to be going in the opposite direction, or I don't know, maybe we're just overblowing it because they've had so much success.
Is this an overreaction?
Is it an overreaction? The Kansas City Chiefs sitting at 1-2.
Kansas City is going to be fine. That slow start. I mean, good teams have slow starts. I think they're going to be fine. The thing that does kind of a little bit concern me is the turnovers. They turned the ball over, I think, on like 3 straight possessions last week. And it was just fumbles.
Well,
I
mean, it goes back to 4 straight possessions. You go back to the Baltimore game.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, and actually, go back to the Baltimore game. That's 4 straight possessions where they gave the ball away.
Well, they gave the ball away. That obviously doesn't help you win football games. But here's an interesting thing, a stat to think about. Is defensively, they're 3rd in yards allowed, right? But they are last in points allowed and second to last in rushing yards. So what that tells me is they're giving up the ball a lot and they're giving up a lot of short fields. And if you think about it, in those games combined, all of them have been one-score games.
Right. Yeah, they're in it because they score a lot of points. And find their way back into it.
And the Allaire fumble last week, it was on the final drive. They were sitting at the 30, and all they needed was a field goal to win.
Yeah.
This week, they had to throw up a Hail Mary, which was a horrible call or no call on the pass interference on Kelsey. I mean, he got tackled.
Right.
And they didn't call it,
right,
you know.
Right.
That ends up costing the game. If they call it, ball's at the one. They, you know, who knows, right? I mean, so they're not that far away.
Yeah, the fish chain was so bad it put Andy Reid in the hospital. Come on.
Well, and that leads me to the other point is, you know, Andy Reid. You know, is he's. I mean, thankfully he's out of the hospital. He's back with the team. But how much does that cause influx within the locker room if your leader is out? You know, other people have to step up, and
that's big time. Man,
it could, yeah.
The head man is the head man, and Andy Reid, you know. Only one Super Bowl, but you guys can't say that he is not a really, really, really good football coach. That guy can get it done, and if he's not there, that's a big, big
problem. People that don't think coaching matters, look to when Sean Payton got suspended for the year, and the Saints went to complete crap. And then the next year, they picked it back up, we're a playoff team. Coaching matters. Now, we're all biased because
we are coaches.
We're all coaches. And we like to think high of ourselves
right, what we do.
But it does matter. And when your leader gets, you know, dinged up, whether it's COVID or, you know, whatever happened to Reid, I don't think they ever came out and said. It's a dire distraction for the players. Ultimately, Kansas City is going to be fine. They're probably going to win their division. They'll go to the playoffs. I don't think they're going to be a Super Bowl contender this year. I think the rest of the division is caught up with them.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Allaire is just not good.
Allaire's not playing good.
I mean, as a team, they're pretty bad. Do you think Josh Gordon helps them? They just signed him.
Well, until he gets suspended again.
I mean, you're right. But he helped out Seattle when he went.
Josh Gordon. If I remember correctly, which I haven't seen much of his 10-year career because it's really been a 3-year career, right? But if I remember correctly, isn't he a big deep ball guy? They have that already.
Yeah.
They don't need the deep threat that Josh Gordon presents to a defense.
What they need to do is what...
I thought for sure they were actually going to go get Richard Sherman, which...
Right.
And they didn't, and Tampa Bay ended up stealing him away.
Sherman is old, but he is an asset to a defense.
Yes.
Right. His knowledge is an asset to a defense.
You know, it comes down to turnovers. You protect the ball and don't give up short fields. You're going to be successful, and they need to do that.
Also, I want to go back to the overreaction thing. Think back to when Tom Brady was in New England, and even maybe last year and the last couple or whatever in Tampa. How often did we see Tom Brady start the year 2-2? 3-3.
It was the demise of the Patriots.
And everybody's just all over the Patriots. And then they go 12-4.
Win their last 7 games in the Super Bowl.
You know, the number one seed in the AFC playoffs. I think that Patrick Mahomes is going to get them going.
I think they win their division.
I think that Kansas City is fine. I still think that they're the best team in the AFC. They're going to be fine.
Well, they're probably going to be fine, but these next teams...
I'll tell you who's not going to be fine. It's the flippin' Chicago Bears. McCaskey's fired him already. They should have fired him off the sideline, walking off the field after scoring 1.1 yards per game per play.
Per play.
We've seen junior high teams. Coach Smith's JV team. It scored more than one, or has more than 1.1 yards per play.
Thank God.
46 yards rushing.
They've never had a good
96 yards passing.
Gave up 9 sacks. And Jason Peters, get your paycheck, stop embarrassing yourself, go retire.
Well, to be fair, Coach, he was a last-second call. He was literally on a boat fishing. And the Bears called him because they needed an offense.
And that's just an example about the Bears' management. Hey, you're fishing? Come block defensive ends.
They did play the Browns, who although they're not the Browns of late, have a pretty good defense.
1.1 yards per play.
Miles Garrett had 4.5 of those sacks by himself. He is a stud.
Yeah, which brings me up to this point. Beast. If you know you can't protect, roll Justin Fields out of the I mean, I'm yelling now. I'm angry. And I want him fired.
And Nagy's answer after the game to this was, well, if Dalton is healthy, he will start.
No, if I'm Dalton, I say I'm hurt every week because you will die behind the offensive line.
And I have made the argument that they didn't seem to really game plan for having Fields in the game. He was three attempts for 12 yards rushing. He was 6 for 20-something passing. They didn't try to move him out of the pocket. They didn't try to have designed runs, which the week before he had rushed for 64 yards on, I believe, 4 carries. And his passing rating was pretty well when he was coming in spot playing. And then the end of the game that he finished, it just seemed like they did not prepare him for the game. Now, he is a rookie against a tough defense. But
on the road.
Is he on the hot seat? Does he make it?
He should be
fired. He make it past the season?
Nagy, I think that he'll end up finishing the season. I do not believe that he will be the coach there next year.
When's their bye week, Nolan?
Week 7. I think week 7 or week 8.
I think it could happen the bye week, to be honest with you.
Well, the problem is,
bye week, it should be like bye week, and it's bye Nagy. Like,
it's bye. Not the owner's style to fire a coach in season. Which is a shame because you got like a 95-year-old lady who's lost touch. I mean, it's embarrassing out there. It's, you know, it ruins my Sunday when I go home. You all know my rule. We can't be telling me the score of the game because I go home and watch it. I'm excited. And then I see, I don't even want to call football.
Sorry for your loss.
Moment of silence for his.
But you know, if I was betting on the guy who'd be fired first, probably not Nagy, because I think we'll have another guy who's in season. Or Urban Meyer's gonna have another one of those quote unquote headaches, and he's gonna be like, "Dane, I actually have to coach."
Do you think that USC is calling Urban Meyer?
Oh, I'm sure they're contacting him.
Yeah. I don't know why they wouldn't.
I think they're freaking going to try to convince him to go back to
college.
Has
Urban Meyer been sitting at home and being like, you know what? I think that I enjoy the college game a whole lot more.
Well, you know why? Because he can recruit good players and doesn't have to coach them. And that's the thing. I mean, if you ask a lot of Ohio State fans, they thought they got better as a team because Ryan Day took over because he's a good in-game coach. Urban Meyer's just like, you know, rolls out the mat and say, all right, boys, go play some football. And, I mean, look at his teams.
Well, and going from college to the NFL, of course, these are grown men. They're professionals. They're making a lot of money. It's worked for some coaches. Jimmy Johnson, of course, was a big disciplinarian, probably MF'd coaches and staff all the time. But in 2021, is that something that goes to today's players? Because apparently from what's coming out of the locker room is that he is hated by not only the players, but his staff. And mostly from what they're saying is that he yells a lot and he says some pretty disparaging things.
That takes me back to Miami, Nick Saban, right?
Yeah.
How was he in college? Was he the same way in the NFL? Because he didn't make it either.
Yeah, I mean, but Saban had the same problems, and he didn't last long in Miami. And a lot of that is you can't run.
If he got Drew Brees, I think he's still there.
Well, yeah.
And he may be still at Miami. I mean.
But the thing with Urban Meyer is at least Saban has some NFL experience to go behind. And I'm not sure about Jimmy Johnson if he had some NFL experience before he moved on from.
I don't believe
no,
so.
He didn't. No, he didn't.
But Urban, you just can't run a college pro. I mean, you have he probably lost the locker room when he signed Tim Tebow. Let's be honest, because you're wasting a roster spot on a guy who's no good at football, or no good at NFL football, and when you could have brought someone else in, it probably lost the team right away. And now he's going with the shenanigans of yelling at players, yelling at coaches. I guess he like embarrasses coaches. Well,
if you want to talk about losing the locker room. He hired the Iowa strength coach, who apparently had been fired from Iowa for making blatantly racist statements to players, belittling players to to the point, I mean, they threw the word bully out there. And then he brings him in and then takes it back and says, no, I don't remember hiring him. And they're like, yeah, you hired him. He's on your staff. And then takes it back and says, no, we didn't hire him. And then they fire him like 3 days later. I don't know. I mean, to me, it sounds like a real shit show over there. I don't think the ownership making this big of it's going to be him that leaves. I don't think they're going to fire him.
No.
You know, and let's remember that a lot of teams that had a number one pick as a quarterback did not do very well the next year. They don't have the talent around him yet. But there are some bad calls. I mean, the double reverse flea flicker.
Pick six?
Yeah, pick six. I mean, just a lot of strange things over there. I think he decides to leave. I think he takes maybe the USC job. I don't know. But I think he makes his way out of the NFL.
Before we move on, I just want to throw this out there just to kind of soothe my soul a little bit. I've heard about USC also possibly contacting Bob Stoops. Bob, I know you don't listen to this podcast, but for the love of God, please, for me and for all Oklahoma people, do not take the job. Please, Bob.
Well, the other one that's on the hot seat that we have listed here is the Giants coach, Joe Judge.
Wasn't he the coach that
no balls.
The police?
Yes.
Didn't he call the police on his own players because they were fighting?
He called the police on his own players. He punted from the 39 down by 1 point in an NFL game. Like, talk about conceding the loss on that one. Apparently, there is very little discipline on the team. One of the losses was caused by an offsides on the field goal unit. Pushed them back out of field goal range, and they ended up losing that game. And he's got some pedigree, though. He was the special teams coordinator for Bama for like 7 years. And then the rest of the time, like about 5 or 6 years, he's been with the Pats. So he's obviously seen the right way to do it. Why is it not working in New York?
To be successful in the NFL, you have to have the respect of your players and for them to play hard. And I'll be honest, I haven't gone through every personnel decision that the Giants have made on their players. I want to say there's been a couple of them that left disgruntled, which, again, you want to make your mark on your team. But, I mean, you work with the Patriots. And the Patriots way does not always work because it's a very rigid system and not everyone, loves it. You got some players that leave the Patriots organization and they'll tell you stories about how it just wasn't fun. And, it's a game. We need to have fun. Now there's gotta be structure behind that and discipline and that. But ultimately, your players got to respect you. You got to make the game fun for them, or else they're going to retire. I think they had a lineman retire out of the blue.
Yeah.
Off that. So.
And a lot of injuries. They did get Saquon back, and I think Jones is a pretty good quarterback.
You're fixing to get a lot of stuff for that, man.
I think he's a decent quarterback. He's able to.
You're pretty good to decent.
I think he's mobile.
He doesn't have a lot around him, and their offensive line is not very good.
Let's be fair. There, when your best receiver is Sterling Shepard, which again, OU got, love him. When Sterling Shepard's your best receiver, there's a problem.
Yeah, and I think that he's going to end up a guy that'll leave free agency, bounce around, and you know, I think they're wasting him there. But that's just my opinion. So next up, we got some fantasy football waiver picks by Coach Guerra. Fantasy is definitely raking up. We're now going into week four, starting to see how things are playing out, where players are doing. This is where your hidden diamonds in the rough start to pop up. Who do you got this week, Coach, that you like on the waiver wire?
So waiver wire pickup for the week. This guy he could be a sleeper, could win you your league. That is to be determined. But our waiver wire pickup is wide receiver Tim Patrick from the Denver Broncos.
Yes.
All right.
The 4-0 Denver Broncos.
Yeah, the 3-0 Denver Broncos. Worst 3-0 team out there. However,
Sorry,
he is currently wide receiver number 31 He's going up against the Baltimore Ravens passing defense this week, which they are number 13 against the pass. So not that bad of a start if you want to start him. Jerry Jeudy and KJ Hamler both went to the IR. That makes him a viable option. The only other good receiver to throw to on that team would be tight end Noah Fant. And I think, you know, he could see that potential wide receiver number one. Week one, this is in a PPR league. He put up 13.9, four targets, four receptions, 39 yards, and a touchdown. Week two, he had 12.7, caught three of four for 37 yards and a touchdown. And then last week, after he had no targets until KJ Hamler went down. However, after he went down, he caught five of five for 98 yards, had a 14.8. He didn't score a touchdown this past week, but he is a viable option. The only thing that kind of scares me is Denver is 10th fewest in passing attempts per game, but I don't see that really being much of a problem. They got Teddy Bridgewater there. He's proven to be at least a decent quarterback. You know, he had that knee injury.
Game manager.
Yeah, but I mean, he's a. I would pick him up off your waiver wire at least for the while Jerry Jeudy and KJ Hamler are on IR.
Some good pickups there for fantasy football. Again, I went 3-0 this week in my fantasy league.
I suck at fantasy, and I'm about ready to retire.
And I need to make some roster moves, so definitely be looking into that.
I beat Coach Smith, so I just want to throw that out there. Thank you, Tony Pollard.
So the last NFL topic, and this should be a pretty interesting debate here, or we might all agree, actually, I think, which is not what people tell us we need to do on this podcast. We need to do a little more fighting and a little more back and forth. But should the NFL change the overtime rules?
Yes.
Starting with Coach Smith.
Yes, for the love of God, yes. Nobody likes a freaking tie, man. Nobody likes a tie.
There's only been four in the last 7 years. But
what do they say? A tie is like kissing your sister. Yeah. If the NFL were to go to maybe the college rules of overtime.
Love it.
Start on the 25, drive.
Absolutely not.
Oh, what?
You do not? Okay. Here's what I don't like. I like the NFL rule in the sense that if you kick a field goal on your first possession, you get the other team a chance. What I don't like is when you score a touchdown. And it's over. What I think is you should have equal opportunity. If you score a touchdown, now you have to go score a touchdown. I don't like it starting from the 30-yard line. Because the game would last forever. Mm-hmm. They really would.
That's exciting.
It's 10 minutes
to watch.
The most entertaining game that I can recall watching was a few years ago. A&M. I want to say Thanksgiving time.
A&M LSU, baby.
How many
Seven overtimes.
Oh, my goodness. I was on the edge of my seat for an hour watching that football game. You tell me you don't want to see NFL teams do
that. I do not want to see NFL teams do that. I want to see a 15-minute period. I want to see each team get one possession regardless of what the score happens. And at the end, if one team's up after equal possessions, that team wins. I think that's the fairest way to do it.
I also like the idea of one, like, so you get, you know, you know how in the college you go two overtimes, after that you have to go for two. You score, you have to go for two. I just like saying, hey, we get to the freaking third overtime, like in college rules, right? Put it on 25. You go in. We go to the third overtime. Line up for a 40-yarder. Here you go. Send your freaking special teams unit out there. We're going to go 5 yards back. And then you just kick a field goal. Your team makes it. The other team misses. F and A. There you go, man.
That sounds like some stupid soccer
crap. Yeah. Your next thing would be like penalty kicks, Rick.
The Ravens would win all the time with Justin Tuck.
I could kind of vibe with Coach Nolan's overtime choice there, but... your overtime.
I'm not saying kicks. I'm not saying the first overtime. I'm saying you give each team. You start from the freaking 30, 25. Go in. You know, you other team gets the ball. You do it. If it goes to a third overtime, you just send your field goal unit out there.
We're gonna go 5 yards. If college overtime was so bad, then we wouldn't do it, right?
No, you're right. Didn't they switch college overtime?
I like college.
After the A&M and LSU game. They didn't like the way. I don't know why people don't like that. We literally, I mean, I hate A&M. And I freaking was on the edge of, like Coach was on the edge of your seat for freaking an hour, and that's just the overtime.
And you loved every second of that.
Oh, I love it. Imagine if the Big 12 did it. That tour would have been 146 to 145.
Maybe not this year.
Talk about beating the over on those games. So that leads us into our sports investment section of our podcast.
4-2.
We want some money.
4-2. 1-0 on the lock. We made some money.
We made some money this past weekend. 4-2 is decent amount of money. Obviously, better than 4. So, again, 4-2 was good. The two that didn't come home was the Notre Dame under, where Wisconsin decided in the last 5 minutes of the game to throw pick sixes left and right. That killed the under there. And we're looking at 13-10 going into the fourth quarter, and somehow Notre Dame scores 31 points. That was a kick in the sack. The second one we lost was Patriots -3, and that was just a dumb call on his part. Patriots, never trust a rookie quarterback, and the Saints, I went with the three road games in a row theory, and the Saints are like, well, you know what? We're just going to kick the crap out of you. And that's what they did. That brings us up into the bad beat of the week. Oh, I also like to point out our lock of the week, Western Michigan, not even close, winner, 23-3. 23-3 winner. We're 1-0 on the locks of the week. Exactly. And, but that goes into our bad beat of the week. Now, we were watching this game as a group, and there was a couple ones. Michigan State not scoring from the 1 yard line in overtime, that would have had them covered. But the kick in the sack of the week was Chargers missing the extra point, losing a 54.5 over against Kansas City. We were excited. We're high-fiving each other. Yeah. Like, yeah,
over's about to hit, baby.
And all of a sudden, someone says, he missed it. I'm like, what are you talking? He missed it.
An extra point.
Missed the extra point.
And it killed us. So, but, yeah. So, you had the 54.5 over, and you missed the kick. We feel for you, dog. It happens. So, but I'll tell you what you shouldn't do, too, Rick. Is drink and bet. We have a gentleman amongst our group who, let's say, he likes to have a couple drinks. And when he likes to drink, it's like driving. You shouldn't drive when you shouldn't be using your phone. And you shouldn't be looking up lines. And you shouldn't be betting Fresno State -30.5 against UNLV, because you're going to be sitting there Friday night looking at the score saying, what the hell just happened? And you're down $150. So,
when you drink alcoholic beverages, turn your phone off.
Turn your phone off. Don't look. Don't do it. Nothing good comes from it. You should be messing with 30-point spreads in the first place. Definitely shouldn't be messing with 30-point spreads after a 6-pack or a 12-pack. But hopefully our buddy is going to come up with another great pick next week, because what I'm going to do is play the opposite of
the opposite.
And then play and get me some money.
So now, the top three
plays of the week, which includes the lock of the week. This was the lock of the week was tough this week. I went through a couple scenarios, looking at a bunch of games. There's a lot of stuff I love this week, which only means I'm probably gonna get my ass kicked. However, my lock of the week,
Nowlin's lock of the week.
Notre Dame plus, when I looked at it this morning, it was +2.5. It might be down to 1.5, but +1.5. But I think if ND wins straight up, Cincinnati's not going to know what to do in South Bend. They're going to turn the ball over, and Notre Dame is going to come out victorious, and we're going to lock that up.
Give me my money.
That's right. Other games I like, Louisiana Tech plus 18.5 against NC State. Now, there's not a whole lot of stats here to back it up other than NC State just knocked Clemson out of the playoff hopes.
Yes.
They're going to – it's – these are kids. I mean, we're talking about 18 to 22-year-old kids. They have letdowns. And La Tech can score, boys. They can score. So, I mean, you could be up. And the thing about the college game, too, you could be down 24 points, and you're going to throw the ball with a minute left because you're going to – don't think those coaches don't know what that number is. And you're going to get that backdoor cover. So, I love La Tech plus 18.5 this week. And then my last one for the top three, Hook 'em Horns.
That's what I'm talking about, baby.
Minus 5. this is more of I watched both these teams play. I just am not impressed with TCU. And I'm impressed with Texas. And I think Sarkisian has a good thing going right now, scoring a lot of points. I think, you know, TCU's got a quarterback problem right now. The only thing that worries me is it is played at TCU.
Yes.
And home dogs tend to come back to bite you.
TCU's defense is not that bad, Coach.
It's not that bad.
Texas is averaging 51.5 right now.
But they just, I mean.
They are feeling it.
They are feeling it. I like Texas 5.5 or minus 5. I wouldn't play it anymore. If it gets up to 6.5, I wouldn't play it. But anywhere around that 4.5 to 5.5 range, I love it. Those are the top three college plays. The other one I really like, two other ones I really like is Kentucky plus 8. This is a rivalry game for them against Florida. They're at home. Kentucky's pretty good this year. You know, and when I say pretty good, they're about 8-4.
Good for Kentucky.
Yeah, it's good for Kentucky. Offense is better this year, and they got a pretty good defense. They had a look-ahead game last week against South Carolina. Almost blew that one. But I think they're going to be focused on Florida to knock off the Gators. So I like them at +8, +8.5 as well. And then the last one, I mean, there's so many games I love here. But the last one I would highly recommend is Georgia -18.5. Big spread against Arkansas. But again, Arkansas just comes off a huge win against Texas A&M. And Arkansas cannot throw the ball. All right? They cannot throw the ball.
They can run it, trust me.
They can run it, but Georgia has a better defense. They're good at stopping the run. I think they're going to shut the Hogs down, and I really think they're going to be able to pick the number against Arkansas that game. So that's my college football
picks.
College picks. You guys have anything you guys really like?
I like Penn State. Penn State -13 against Indiana. Earlier this week, it was at 10.5. I like it a little bit better there, but -13, I still like that. Penn State right now is 3-1 against the spread. They've been favored by at least 12.5 twice, in which they split and went 1-1. But Indiana, not very good at football. And so I think they will cover that. Indiana is 1-2 against the spread with a push on one. But I do like that. Another one I like is UTSA -21 against UNLV. UNLV's 0-4, UTSA 4-0. It is in the Alamo Dome, and
you should go to that game.
For some reason, the opposing coaches or players, for some reason, always have something to say about the Alamo Dome. This week, they asked the UNLV head coach, "Have you prepared your team for the atmosphere in the Alamo Dome?" In which he replied, "No." Silent for about 15 seconds. Should I? And UTSA fans did not take that very well.
That is bulletin board material.
Yeah,
they might bring the come and take it back.
Yeah. So that always lights a fire under people. And so I like that play. And my last play, Nolan does not like it. But Michigan +1 against Wisconsin. Michigan is the only team in the FBS right now without a turnover. Nolan doesn't like it, though.
I don't. I'm not a believer in Michigan. Again, they can't throw the ball very well. Wisconsin does a really good job stopping the run. It's in Madison. And I'm just not a believer in Jim Harbaugh. And I was a big Jim Harbaugh fan when he got to Michigan. I thought he was going to get that thing rolling. He just hasn't.
Can't seem to win the big one.
And this is a big one for them.
Yeah, it is.
So it's, for me, it's Wisconsin or nothing. But Michigan very well could win that game and cover the spread as well. So what about you two? Do you guys have anything you really like? I know, you know, Smith over there.
I'll tell you, I'm not a big bet guy. Don't like to lose money that often. So whenever it comes to this kind of stuff, I'm not too sure. But I will say, like Coach Garrett said, I kind of like that Penn State game, man. That sounds pretty good to me.
All right. What about you, Coach Alvarez?
I like Maryland. Okay. The -3.
Plus three.
And then Kansas State. I think they pull it off against Oklahoma, or at least cover at 10.5. And then Texas. Taking Texas, and also I like Rick said, the UTSA. They haven't let me down yet this season, and I know it's 21 points, but I think they're going to blow up home game. They're expecting a big crowd and some excited UTSA fans after the big win last week against Memphis.
Breaking news, just got a text from Manuel from Del Rio. He loves Oregon State -2.5. He says to take your mortgage. Throw it on them, because no one is going to be Oregon State and Corvallis this year. So Manuel,
nobody wants to go to Corvallis.
Yes,
on purpose.
Yes. Road trip.
Road trip.
Nobody wants to go to Eastern Oregon on purpose.
Nobody likes to go to Oregon on
purpose. I want to go to Oregon. Have you seen the scenery there?
In the eastern or the western side, yes, it's beautiful.
On the coast,
well, maybe that's why.
That western, once you cross that mountain range, it's desert, pretty, baby. Pretty awful. You don't want that.
So again, shout out to everybody that has been listening to our podcast. A special shout out to any of our guys listening out there. Shout out to Sonny for the intro outro music. Good job on that, Coach Smith. Thanks for joining us again this week. Hopefully, it's a regular thing. Hopefully you guys got some out of it today as far as our football talk. I love talking boxing. You know, baseball's fixing to gear up here in October.
Take a future on the Tampa Bay Rays.
And hockey. I don't know. Hockey's coming around here pretty soon too. And basketball. There's some basketball topics that have been in the news also. So stay tuned. Again, we're going to try to drop every Wednesday at 8 o'clock. Check your Apple Podcasts. Your Spotify, for all those, for our podcast. Big shout out to all of y'all for joining us. Guys, I had fun again. This was awesome.
Hey, Three Coaches Podcast on Twitter, Facebook. And, you know, hit us up, follow us, and download.
Hey, man, you know, like they've mentioned a few times, and we appreciate you guys listening. You know, if you like the show, man, tell your friends, man, tell your family. The more followers and listeners we get, you know, the better this thing's going to end up being. So, like I said, we appreciate you. We love you guys. But, you know, tell a phone, tell a family, tell a friend. You know what I'm saying?
Don't hesitate to comment also, like on our Twitter, Facebook, and our YouTube. If you have any questions, shout out, send us some questions.
We're looking for some sponsors, guys. If you guys want to sponsor, you own a business, or, you know, even if you don't own a business and you just want to sponsor a couple bucks here and there, that'll be perfectly fine too. We'll give you some shout outs on here. Hopefully, you have
free,
some ads.
We love free food. Well,
we do love free food.
All right. We'll see you next time, guys.
All right. See you next week, fellas.
See ya.
The Coaches Sports Podcast.